Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. We're having a good time here. If you missed Hour 1, you can go back. We do have podcasts at www.radiolawtalk.com. These podcasts are usually put up, trying to get them up by Monday, but at the latest, usually Wednesdays. They're super fun to listen to. And here's the best part about it. We have great computer people, and these computer people set it up so that you can actually search under a topic and find, you know, a topic, Johnny Depp, all the different shows that we talked about Johnny Depp.
And all 78 segments.
Yes. No, there's a lot of them. And so, yeah, there's quite a few. There's 78. I think there's probably more than that,
to tell you the truth.
Or, we can look up anyone you want. Fred Penny, maybe you might find a few things we talk about. So that's at www.radiolawtalk.com. You want to tweet us at Radio Law Talk, just go to our Twitter page. We have an Instagram page. We have a Facebook page. Believe it or not, we even have a TikTok page. So even Cal has a TikTok. Yeah, even the old guy sitting behind the glass.
I do. I have a TikTok page.
Yeah, he never touches it.
I've done so many gags on that. I've jumped off a moving airplane.
Oh,
I rode a buffalo.
You know what? I have a TikTok. You know what? How many comments I get? Hey, old man, you're too old for this app.
And those are just from me.
It's so funny because it really is a young kid's app, but now older people are jumping on it, like me, and I'm in my 50s, so that's old, but it's so funny to see these kids. What are you doing, old grandpa? What are you doing on it? They're so rude nowadays. It's so funny. And everyone's like, does that offend you? No, I just laugh and go, well, you followed me. I literally had three or four people. What I like to do on my TikTok is you do a thing called duet. And so you do what one person's doing, and you do it, and then it goes next to it. And Todd's really good at this.
Yeah, he's good.
And Todd knows I duet eating food. And these people do some really weird food eating. And mine's at Frederick.
Like pushing mashed potatoes out their nose and stuff like that?
Weird stuff do you mean? Like that. And then I duet it while I'm eating, like, you know, looking at it. And literally, I mean, I think I have 30,000 views, people that watched it. But you know how many comments I got? Why am I following you? What am I doing? This is stupid. And it's like, my point exactly. You commented and watched it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You just keep ticking and I'll keep talking.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like, you know the accident on the side of the road? You just, don't look. I gotta look. That's what TikTok's all about. Yeah. So, but anyway, Twitter is where Denise handles our Twitter account, and it's more intelligent and done well. So follow our Twitter account at Radio Law Talk. We're going to talk about some interesting things. We're jumping into this hour about the athletes, transgender athletes. This has been going on a while in Connecticut, where it's, like I said, there's a conflict. There's Title IX is a huge important thing about women and treating women equally, especially in sports, and how way back in the 70s, 80s, the money all went to, and let's talk about college athletics, went to football, baseball, basketball in men's, and women had hardly any money going toward them because, quite frankly, that's what made the money was the football and programs, stuff like that. And so Title IX came out, which basically said you cannot do that. Women have to have equal opportunities and equal payment, at least generally speaking. I'm being general and talking about the law. And actually, it helped my daughter, who got a scholarship for swimming in a Division I major university. But let me tell you, now there's going to be some head button because these women have brought this transgenders are beating them, and they're coming in as transgenders as women,
And they're playing in tennis and track and in
and they're winning big too.
In Connecticut. It's been 2 years in a row that these two transgender athletes have taken the state.
Well, not just that, they've had what 17 titles, 15 girls' state indoor and outdoor titles and records that they're breaking, championship races, etc. And now there's lawsuits. The women have now brought lawsuits against them, and now here's the battle against my rights as an LGBT and or our rights as women. And so this is going
to
be...
Right, and how are they going to be referred to? That was like a huge thing in this case. The judge referred to them as transgendered women, and the plaintiffs wanted to refer to them as biological males.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that and what came down. And this is in the middle. We're going to be following this for quite some time. Yeah. But this is interesting if you're interested in sports and how this is going to come down. But actually, the most important thing everybody does, I think, in the whole United States, no matter what happens, the most important thing is case or no case. I think
it's the country comes to a halt
or no case.
Comes to a halt. Everyone, I tell you, the country will always agree. No matter what our country's going on and the disagreements this country's having, they will all agree that it's time to relax, sit back, hold hands, and go to case.
And hum. We're thinking humming a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Do it, Cal.
It is not unusual for artists to sue their record companies. Weird Al Yankovic's company is called Ear Booger. Or is it Ear Booker? I'm not sure. And he had a beef against some... Sony Records. He claimed that Sony miscategorized his downloads as sales, which means he gets much less unless they were properly categorized on Sony's balance sheet. Sony said, well, wait, Weird Al, you didn't write these. You just wrote some lyrics, for example, to the Michael Jackson song, I'm Fat. You didn't write I'm Fat.
That's
you
awesome.
Just wrote the lyrics. So we're not going to pay you all of that anyway. You're claiming more royalties than we should. And we've shipped money over to Michael Jackson's house already anyway, so leave us alone, basically, was their kind of retort to that. And Weird Al said, no, listen, I have the original song rights. I got permission from these people, and I expect you to pay my estate and not his. So I'm going to call my lawyer to see if I have a case. So, Todd Kunin, you get to go first this time.
Wait, yeah. Before you go to Todd.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm clear with this. So
sure.
If it's considered, quote, a sale, he gets paid less money from Sony, correct?
Right.
But if it's considered what, does he get more money? Is his own, use, I guess? His own, I don't get that maybe.
Downloads. Downloads are different than sales. Downloads give him a bigger percentage than sales. So he said, you're categorizing my downloads as sales, you know, give me a proper percentage. And Sony is, R2?
Okay.
Mr. Kunin, what say you?
Well, it makes sense, I guess, that downloads would give him a larger percentage because a download does not include the cost of pressing a CD, the cost for the CD, you know, pushing
production
cost.
Right.
Distribution's a lot easier, lot more cost efficient.
Less overhead costs.
Exactly. So what I'm going to say that this is a case, and, you know, if Sony's argument was correct, the ripple effect throughout the industry, in my opinion, would be catastrophic, because then if, let's say, a movie comes out and it has a soundtrack to it, and when the movie comes out, the movie producer had an issue with the movie studio about not being paid royalties, and then the studio came back and said, yeah, well, you didn't write the song for the soundtrack, so that should actually go to this person and this person. That'd be ridiculous. Essentially, when you get the rights for the movie and that comes to you, if you have a personal obligation to disgorge anything that was given to you to the people whose music you get, that's one thing. So, but it shouldn't affect the producer's right to pay you. So I'm going to say case, and Weird Al prevails.
Hmm. All right, Denise Dirks, what say you on this matter?
This, I remember the issue coming up about Eat It. Just eat it, right?
Right, because Michael Jackson was not happy that he used it. That was one of the points.
Right, yeah. And it became to where it was fair use because of satire. If I'm not... Wait, I have to hurry. I am going to say that it is...
You can do it afterwards. Don't hurry.
Oh, good.
Do
thank
your
you.
Denise thing.
I'm
we're going to
slow
we're
down.
We're going to hear Denise afterwards and then hear from me so we can beat Cal. We'll be right back with
I have an
updates.
Interesting take on it.
She just went to a Zen place there, closed her eyes and everything. We'll be right back. Hold on.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to ProLawFirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to ProLawFirms.com. That's ProLawFirms.com.
ProLawFirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Stone. You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Hey, I saved you, Denise. You were trying to get a quick answer in, but I think I saved you so you had time to think about it and give a good opinion about Al Yankovic. No. The artist, what is it?
Weird Al.
Weird Al. Weird Al Yankovic, whether or not the sales against Sony, there were sales or downloads.
Right, because I think if it was sales, then they would be able to claim that they had to pay the musical person the monies. But if it was a straight download, then it was going to all go to Weird Al. Right? Is that the concept?
I think there's a slight expense tap for a download because of data storage and, you know, network. But realistically, compared to producing a record or a CD, it's nothing.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, for all intents and purposes, yes. Yeah.
So... this is against Sony, not against Michael Jackson. If it was Michael Jackson, I would have said a different answer. But because it's Sony, I have to agree with Todd. I think it's Weird Al's case. I think he wins against Sony.
Okay. Fred Penny, what say you?
I agree it is a case. But I'm going to have to, just for strategery reasons, no logic, just I've got to go against the two of them. The problem is when Denise agrees with me, we're always wrong. She agrees with Todd, they're always right. This is boring, everyone having the same agreement. I'm going to disagree and say Weird Al loses and Sony wins, even though I'm going to put 75% chance I'm wrong. But I'm going to go for the 25% on the roulette table.
Again, another Fred Penny answer. I'm going to go with this one. But if I'm wrong, it wasn't that I didn't know.
Yes.
It's that it was strategy.
Okay. Exactly.
All right.
No, I'm playing.
Yeah, look at Cal's face.
I know. I'm playing the percentages, though they're a lower percentage. I'm going all out.
Okay.
I'm like you two softball people that just can't handle anything that's just aggressive when it comes to Radio Law Talk. I will take the other side of the ticket here.
Fred has grabbed the bucking Oreo cow
by
the horns.
That's exactly right.
And we're going for
it. You guys are sitting on the fence with your Mai Tai. What's going on out there?
At the end of the day, we really can't say much because Fred could just bring in, you know, the tax returns, everything, go, scoreboard! Scoreboard!
That's a fair point. Well, let me give you a little information.
Okay, let's get the info.
The lawsuit, so it was in fact a lawsuit.
Yes, all three of us.
Threw in some eyebrow-raising allegations. Yankovic cited Google's 2006 purchase of YouTube and a content licensing agreement then struck by Sony. According to the lawsuit, Sony was given an equity stake in YouTube in exchange for YouTube getting some of Sony's stuff. So YouTube got some of Weird Al's money.
Oh.
He was not happy about that. In fact, one of the reasons Sony had so much leverage in negotiating with YouTube was that Weird Al's videos were very popular.
Yes.
And were driving a lot of eyeballs to the website. Yankovic demanded a piece of the Sony YouTube deal. The singer also demanded payments from licensing agreements and settlements Sony had struck with third parties like Spotify and Vimeo. He wanted that money too. And he wanted, I think, like about $25 million. At the end of the day, Weird Al got $5 million when he won.
What kind of a loss, the case.
And that's...
All right. Well, you know who made the money, Cal?
The lawyers. That's right.
The lawyers made the money.
Yeah, and Sony's still making it. And Weird Al still got his $5 million, so he can take his tour bus out. He came to Redding, California, where I live, and put on a very nice show of his non-parody songs. He wanted to do a concert of Weird Al's serious music, and people went, eh, can you do White and Nerdy, please?
Yeah, dude, we can care less about your normal stuff.
Exactly. Come on, Al.
Yeah.
Get real,
like,
dude.
Oh, let's jump into the, you know, this is a very interesting issue we've been following in Connecticut. So there's these two transgenders, and again, it's what you call them. Do you call them biological males? Do you call them transgender females? And that's an argument between the plaintiffs and the defense, what you call these individuals. And we're not gonna argue that right now, but the issue is, it is very clear that these transgender females / biological males, whichever you want to call, are winning winning these races. And they've set all these records, and these are a couple of the top gals in Connecticut that are the speedsters that are getting beat. And I've at least watched a few. They're getting beat pretty good. It's not like, you know, at the tape. It's a wipeout. So the question
significant
is,
advantage, we could say.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, what do you do here? And so finally, these three gals, apparently they're getting a lot of backlash too for coming out and saying this is not fair, which is, oh my gosh, the United States people get offended? What? Cal, there's got to be something like, what? You got to have
something. What? I should put up crickets.
Like, everyone's like, hey, what's your name? I'm offended by you asking me what your name is. But what it comes down to is they are bringing a lawsuit saying this is just not fair under Title IX, Denise. Isn't that right?
Yes. Absolutely. And there's been some, the plaintiffs are upset with the judge because the judge, the very first thing he says is we are not going to refer to them as transgender males or
biological males
or as males.
Right.
We're going to call them transgender female. And that's consistent with science, common practice, and perhaps human decency.
That's what he's saying.
What the judge said. And the plaintiffs got very upset by this language, saying, wait a second, this is on its face now bias. You cannot be unbiased as against the plaintiffs in this case. We want you to recuse yourself, judge.
And step down
because your language indicates you've already sided with the defendant transgenders.
Catch by the lawyers, at least to try to come up with an argument there, don't you think?
I think it was a good argument, quite honestly. But the question is, does that argument prevail, right?
Right. Well, here's another thing that's interesting. Let's back up. Todd, you had a point.
Well, it's just because we're getting into a break. When we come back, I want to further this about things that happen in court that are what I would term microaggressions that individually might not seem like much, but collectively can really sway a judicial or jury determination based upon these small microaggressions that occur, and this is a classic example.
That's a good one. Yes, for sure.
All right. Okay. Talk to you later in about, like, what, 2 or 3 minutes after these commercials.
This is the bottom of the hour break. I wanted to clarify. It's 5 minutes.
Woo! 5 minutes. Yeah. How do you do without us for 5 minutes? I don't know.
Stay there. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Warning. Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252.
Dick.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A federal judge ruled that former National Security Advisor John Bolton can move forward in publishing his tell-all book despite efforts by the Trump administration to block the release because of concerns that classified information could be exposed. The decision from U.S. District Judge Royce Lambeth is a victory for Bolton in a case that involved the core First Amendment and national security concerns. But the judge also made it clear his concerns that Bolton had gambled with the national security of the United States by taking it upon himself to publish his memoir without formal clearance from a White House that says it's still reviewing it for classified information. The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, depicts a president whose foreign policy objectives were completely linked to his own political gain. This is USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
This is Radio Law Talk.
That was an abrupt end there, Cal.
Yes.
That's kind of interesting.
What'd they do?
I don't know. Who's up first?
It was just short. What? I mean, the bumper was just a short bumper.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, here. Let me play one more.
Play something else.
I'll play one more. Okay, stand by. Here we go. Right.
Radio Law Talk.
We can do that
and
one.
And Radio Law Talk.
How about some kid stuff, Cal? Why don't you do some kid stuff or something like...
Okay. I'll be glad to do that. Yeah, here's one.
Cal, you get paid so much money for this. Why aren't you doing it right?
Here's my favorite.
You're a whiner.
That's a good one, Cal. All right, he got me. All right, we're talking about transgender issues here and the lawsuits, and we've got another Supreme Court case we're going to talk about. But what you have to note, Denise, we're talking about this case and this judge, whether or not he's going to be recused, and they've asked him to recuse himself because they believe that he's already biased in what he's saying. And then, Cal, then we're going to quickly jump to Todd, the criminal lawyer that talks about issues with this in criminal law. But on May 15th, the U.S. Education Department determined that Connecticut's transgender law allowing them to participate in girls' sports violated Title IX. So they actually came out, the U.S. Education Department says, you can't let them do that. And it's violating Title IX for women, and that's where all these lawsuits are coming, you know, are coming out. So we've got both sides. We got the government fighting, you know, they can't figure out what to do on this, and so lawsuits are starting to fly on this issue. Todd, you had an issue discussing this in criminal cases.
Yeah, because the issue here, as Denise was talking about, the case has not been decided yet.
Well, the recusal has, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes, the case itself has not been decided yet. This was a recusal issue because of the way in which the judge ordered that the transgender athletes had to be referred to. And rather than, you know, the plaintiffs want to call them male or male transgender athletes, and the court, as Denise said, no, you're going to call them transgender female athletes. Okay, and this brings up an issue of what's called microaggressions. And interestingly enough, microaggressions have been brought. The idea of microaggressions has been brought up by those claiming discrimination throughout the world about how you can say things that don't necessarily, you wouldn't feel, are racist or discriminatory, but a person that is a member of the group that you're referring to might think otherwise because there's an inherent bias in the statement. And in this case here, if an issue before the jury is performance of males who are transitioning to females versus the natural female athletes, ordering the transgender athletes to be referred by a specific name that includes the word female and does not include the name male could be construed as a microaggression in the courtroom because it reinforces essentially the argument that the transgender athletes would be making. We're women. Because the word male is nowhere in the name. And it's not just transgender, it's transgender female. So I can see why one party would have an issue with that. Where that comes up in criminal court is, you know, what happens when the defendant is brought out and they're wearing the orange jumpsuit in a trial? Okay, oftentimes there's this order that they be put into plain clothes, and some people, because of security risks, can't have that. But the argument is if you don't change, you got the jury sitting there listening to evidence of this person's guilt, who's supposed to be presumed innocent, and every time they look at him, they see him dressed in the same garb that people who are incarcerated are dressed in, it has a psychological effect on that, especially if there are handcuffs and restraints that are visible.
And smart defense lawyers all of a sudden bring out the baddest looking biker, all shaved up in a three-piece business suit, so he looks like Mr. Main Street USA.
Absolutely. It comes up in terms of evidence. For example, on a DUI, when a cop says, yes, I perform field sobriety tests on this DUI. I'm sorry, but to quote Ron White, that's not a sobriety test, that's an agility test, and I'm not that agile. And it's correct, because there's nothing in those tests that determine what your blood alcohol level is, or even if you have alcohol. All it is whether or not you're coordinated, and then the officer makes a determination that, well, based upon that, plus the fact that I smelled the odor of alcohol, you had slurred speech, and you blew a .15, I'm going to say that those tests were evidence that you were not sober, but the tests by themselves don't test sobriety. But a jury looking at that hears, oh, you failed field sobriety test, you must have been drunk. Not if that's the only evidence you had. Maybe you're just not coordinated.
Right.
So these are all microaggressions that build up in court, and I can see why this would be an issue.
If you want to call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you have an opinion on this, get 855-LAW-RADIO. Denise, what is the phone number, 855?
529-7234.
Okay, let's jump back to this case. Now,
I wanted to say something about it, and this is, to me, this is the most interesting part. It's the scientific side of this, and it's the argument that these people, these transgenders, are biologically male, thus they have an advantage over the female, right? That's basically at the heart of this.
Yeah.
And Title IX is to make it equal for women and for females. Well, the argument of the transgendered attorneys made was that, hey, they're on hormone levels that made them typical for non-transgender girls. So in other words, they're exactly hormonally the same as these other girls or women.
But they're 6 foot three, 225 pounds.
That's the argument, is that physique has developed in such a way, and the hormone has not changed the physique. Plus, how many people have heard steroids? How many people understand that's a hormone too, right? So this is like coming on the precipice of, well, how much hormones can they take?
And that's illegal in track, in
any kind of athletic sport. It should not, enhancement should not be legal.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is you were bringing up physique, Fred. The hormone level now, after they have developed physically to the stature they developed before they started transitioning from male to female, well, that physique was directly related to the hormone levels that existed during the developmental phase. And so if somebody achieved a physique of being 6 foot three and having the muscles that they have before they started to transition, and it was because of the testosterone and the hormones that came in, well, okay, the hormone levels now might be lower, but you're still benefiting from the hormone levels that made your muscles to the size that they are, and it allows for that performance. The issue is going all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the salient point here is to transition, you have to be undergoing hormone therapy to reduce the number of the amount of testosterone level to get your hormone levels in line with a female. Well, if you're undergoing hormone therapy, then you're not doing it naturally. And the whole idea behind amateur sports in general, all sports, is that
natural ability.
It has to be natural ability, not because of hormones that you're taking.
But you notice it's interesting. No, there's no issues with females transitioning to male in sports, to your knowledge, is there?
I was thinking that. I
have to look that up. I can't
think of a lot of people that were born biologically female that are transitioning to male so they can compete in the male sport.
Here's the question also. What's going to happen hasn't happened yet in the Olympics?
I know.
To my knowledge, what's going to happen now with the Olympics?
But there's a constant battle in the Olympics. Remember, the Russian female team was disqualified because they tested with too much male hormone. Remember that? Yeah. I mean, this is a constant battle, battle in the Olympics.
I still maintain that if you look at it the way boxing and wrestling does things, where they have weight classes, right? And I could see, look, the Olympics started, you know, thousands of years ago, the first Olympiad, and at that point, the only real demarcation between men and women was their gender. You know, that was okay. They look at a woman, and you have women features, and you have men features. Those are going to be our demarcation there. Well, now, if we can identify and classify people based upon hormone levels and things, well, then change it up and let everybody in the same hormonal classification compete. And you know, I'm the 100-meter winner of people that have within this hormonal range. Okay, good for you.
I have to make too many medals.
All I got to say is I'm glad I'm not having to deal with it.
Man.
This is a really complicated thing. But the judges refuse. He comes out and he says, sorry, I'm not going to step down. He says, that I do not see this as an issue. I'm not going to recuse myself. I am not biased. Which, by the way, you know why the plaintiff's lawyers have done this. Now this is a grounds for an appeal.
Absolutely.
So if anything goes south, he doesn't step down. They did that, okay? Then we're going to appeal you because you're biased.
And it also sets up grounds for another reason for recusal, which is now the judge is biased against us because we told him he had to recuse himself. And so it really puts the judge behind.
Or is it a reverse psychology that the judge is going to be very careful not to look biased and he's going to lean their way?
But I decided that it sounds like the Princess Bride all over again.
It does. I'm telling you, maybe that. Thinking, okay, the judge now better. He's going to be very careful and maybe lean our way. So
we're
going to talk.
Belichick beating up the referees. Oh, I see.
Yeah, we're going to come back and talk about the you. We're talking about transgender now. LGBT, the latest U.S. Supreme Court ruling about employers and LGBT. We'll be back.
What does it mean? We'll answer that question as much as we can next, right here on Radio Law Talk. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
Are you serious?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
As we always say, we're politically neutral here. We do, and we are. We argue both sides, but what does crack me up is interesting. Just what the media says is just not right all the time. At least what the headlines say. The headlines are, you know. And again, we're not jumping on Trump's side or against Trump, but Trump loses major LGBT fight in the U.S. Supreme Court. Actually, that's not true. Actually, they lost on a technicality and they sent it back.
Well, that's not the LGBT.
No, which one's that?
That's
one?
DACA.
Yes.
That's the DACA, Dreamer case.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I meant the Dreamers case. That's right, the LGBT. You're right.
Right.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I just remember the DACA case. What they say is not true because it's okay. Let's talk about the Supreme Court.
No, what the Supreme Court ruled was that the definition of sex in Title VII includes LGBTQ people that identify as a different gender, and that they are protected class under Title VII, which is a protection federally in the federal employment arena that protects certain classes from discrimination.
And what's interesting is some of the conservative justices, that's what, getting the two because I read the two of them together, Justice Roberts, make sure I'm right on this one, I'm not looking at my notes, was actually... was he the one that
Gorsuch wrote
Gorsuch
this.
Was on this one. Yeah.
Justice Roberts was on the other 35 pages one. Worth.
Yes.
And it was a 6-3 decision.
Which is, he was generally, was Gorsuch conservative?
Yeah, he was appointed by President Trump.
Yeah, he's very conservative, generally speaking.
Yeah, and I think this goes to just the issue of, you hear a lot when a Supreme Court justice, when a person is nominated to the Supreme Court by the president, and then they go through the Senate confirmation hearings, and then the press reports, and everybody reports, and you know they have it out that this person is going to be either heavily conservative or heavily liberal. They're going to capitulate and always sway to the whims of the president or whoever appointed them. And you know, and I remember with Justice Gorsuch specifically, as well as Kavanaugh, the LGBTQ community was very concerned about what that appointment would do to cases that involve them. And I think that this is a good example of, you never know how a person is going to rule when they get on the court, because the first thing they say is to all the Senate questioners, I don't predetermine cases.
That's exactly right.
Not only that, but they're looking at the law.
Yeah, which
they're
is nice,
at the law.
Which I appreciate.
This case, I think, kind of focuses on two, in my opinion, two different concepts. One is the textual context, which means you look at the exact wording of something and you just utilize that wording. You don't go beyond the wording in a statute, right?
Yes.
And also a little bit of judicial activism, where
some people argue that's not constitutional.
Yeah,
they're going
outside and they're actually kind of creating law in their own way. This is where they took the definition of sex and perhaps they expanded it a little bit to include identification.
And that seems to be what the dissent...
Yeah, 1964 when this came out. Oh, go ahead.
Well, and I want to point out that the dissent was not a unified dissent. So Justice Thomas and Justice Alito wrote one dissent, and in their dissent, they focused on the fact that they thought that the majority, like, you're expanding on this term. And you know, the code ought to say what it says, and judges shouldn't be expanding it, because essentially if you do it here, then where does it stop? And it keeps going. And Kavanaugh's dissent was interesting because, first, in his dissent, I've never seen a dissent happen like this before. In the dissent, first he congratulated the LGBTQ community and said, you know, I think this is a win for you. This is great. His only thing was that he said, I wish that this clarification could have come legislatively and not judicially. So if there's an issue here about the language, why are you putting it in the laps of the judges? Go back as the legislature, pass it in the Congress, pass
define
it in the Senate, define it the way you want it defined, and pass it law. The judges should be interpreting the law, not making it.
Before we go, look, we're missing the important thing, even though I've got the two mixed up. We didn't tell the history of this. This is about the Harris Funeral Home that it's centered on a transgender named Amy Stevens that worked for Harris Funeral Homes, and they it's a trans woman, and then once they found out, they fired her, saying that violates God's commandments according to our religious beliefs. That's how this started. And just so you know, people are like, well, how did this all start? That's what happened.
And I believe there was also a companion case.
Yes.
And in the companion case, it was the issue where an employee had joined a gay softball league. And when that happened, he was terminated because his employer didn't like the optic of it. Now,
go ahead.
Now, on those issues, you know, essentially, Title VII exists. Title VII exists to say, if you guys can do the job, you can do the job. What you do in your personal life shouldn't have an effect on what you do with your job.
Right.
That's what the judges were citing.
Here's what I didn't know this. Did you know that living in California, it's a little more liberal, and I just don't, you know, follow everything. Before ruling this, I didn't know that there was job discriminations for gay and transgenders in over, like, 29 states, that it was legal, or at least... not disallowed in 29 states. I didn't. Well, maybe that's just something I just wasn't aware of. I put down, I didn't know that.
And here's where that comes from. So when Denise started this case out, she started talking about this case. There are certain things called protected classes, and we know them as race, national origin, religion, creed, marital status, and sex,
and color.
And so you have these protected classes. And in California and other states, the state law mirrors the federal law.
Right.
And so we have that. But in some states, they don't have the state law mirroring the federal law. That's what you're referring to.
Cal, you had a point. That's
right. I was just going to say, it's fascinating to me, and I know nothing about this, but the people who feared constructionism out of Gorsuch and out of the two most recently appointed judges, which was they want to follow the letter of the Constitution and the letter of the law, got what they wanted because those justices followed the letter of the law. It was just an ironic little twist to me.
But you never. That's why that brings me a little bit of joy in the following reason. They argue. This is what judges argue. We're not political. That's what the judges always argue.
Robert.
And I hope they're not. I don't want them to be political. And my favorite girlfriend, Justice, when she came out against Trump, that bothered me. I'll be honest, that bothered me. Not that she's against Trump, but you've got to stay neutral. I don't want any of my Supreme Court justices in state talking anything about any political person.
I totally agree. Or
either
or
side.
Topic.
Either side.
Yep.
Just
agree.
Just what? Apply the law.
And just to comment on what Cal said, it's just maybe a different take that I have, is there were a lot of people that thought Justice Gorsuch was a constructionism, is good luck. Whatever the letter of the law says, that's what it's going to be. Now, ironically, in this particular case, Gorsuch did not employ constructionism, because the law does not specifically protect transgender individuals. So Gorsuch, writing that with everybody else, took the word sex and expanded on it to pull that in. So it was an extension that may have gone beyond constructionism. But again, I think that just speaks to the fact that you never know what a judge is going to do.
Well, what about Alito? Alito is generally known as being fairly liberal, correct?
No, he's very conservative.
Okay, Who's the one that's liberal? Considered liberal, not Alito.
Are you talking about the female?
No. I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay.
But anyway, his interesting what his dissent was. It was kind of sharp.
I think you're talking about Alito's dissent where he says
it's breathtaking.
He says Title V of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits employment discrimination on any of the five specified grounds: race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. This is Justice Alito. And he said neither sexual orientation nor gender identity appears on that list.
You mean Title VII or Title V, you said?
Title VII.
Title VII.
Yeah, it's Title VII.
Exactly.
Well, good. I'm glad someone else made a mistake. Than me.
And I think the point with the dissent was, we're not saying that people like that shouldn't have those rights, you shouldn't be protected. It's just that our job is to interpret what the legislature said the law was. If you want that to be covered, change the law.
Right.
Don't have us do it.
That's my point.
That's right.
Legislative intent kind of carried the day for the most part.
Here's the interesting thing. So when we come back, hour three, we're going to talk about what I was talking about in the first part of this
DACA
case. Yeah. DACA, which is the Dreamers thing that Obama brought up, and apparently a ruling against Trump again, he loses. We're going to talk about that, but it's on a technicality. So we'll be back. I am just messing up. Let's hope hour three is better.
Stay with us. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. Hour number three, Radio Law Talk, is live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations. And if your station's not carrying us live, reach out to them and suggest that they do. Radio Law Talk will continue. Don't go away.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.